Every day, Bill Frank...
We're going to be doing one thing and one thing only.
...talks with the best guests in America about business.
You mean business?
Monkey business?
Are you ready to get down to business?
All right! Everybody's here and that means we can get down to business.
Entertainment.
Entertainment.
The entertainment capital of the world.
What kind of entertainment?
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Sports.
Game on.
A grueling test of strength, speed, and stamina.
Wow, just like in the pros.
And the local community.
The rage in local radio.
Find out what's going on locally.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time now for the Bill Frank Radio Show on News Talk 1520 KVTA. Now, here's your host.
Bill Frank.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to the Bill Frank Radio Show. You can also hear me streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. I'm bringing fresh perspectives to Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work in Ventura and Santa Barbara. The Bill Frank Show is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. Every show has the theme, and today's theme is business and politics. As we get closer to the election, these two subjects dominate the conversation. My next guest likes to stir the pot and does not pretend to be impartial or balanced. We'll tackle the issue of race relations in the United States on the eve of the 2012 presidential election from her latest book, Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. Ann Coulter is an 8-time New York Times bestselling author. She's a legal correspondent for Human Events and a syndicated columnist for United Press Syndicate. She graduated from Cornell University and the University of Michigan Law School, where she was the articles editor for the Michigan Law Review. Joining us from back east. Hi, Ann. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I am terrific, and thank you for being our special guest. I mean, you've written really a very powerful book here at a time on about a hot-button issue as we're going into this presidential election. Doesn't raising the issue about race make it difficult for us to discuss the challenges that are facing this country right now?
No, because that's the left answer to everything. We have the most left-wing president we've ever had, and if you disagree with anything he does, from the stimulus bill to nationalizing health care, you're called a racist. All Obama critics have been called, denounced as racist. The Tea Partiers were supposed to be racist, though with the press dedicating its extensive resources to routing out the evidence of racism among the Tea Partiers, never found a whiff of it.
All right. But Ann, I mean, how is it that our fear of talking honestly about race, how does that hurt us as a country overall?
There is no fear on the left, though there ought to be, given their ugly history with race relations. I wouldn't mention it, except they've reversed the parties in the history of civil rights. It was the Democratic Party that fought a civil war to keep enslaving blacks. It was the Democrats who fought the civil rights amendments to the Constitution and civil rights legislation for the next 100 years. And these weren't conservative Democrats, as has been alleged, who, you know, suddenly jumped into the Republican Party. No, these were liberal Democrats, and they remained liberal Democrats. Those were the segregationists. Having been AWOL during the real, or on the side of segregationists during the real civil rights battles, through the 70s and 80s, the country was torn apart by all kinds of racial mongering. We had Tawana Brawley and Trayvon Martin cases every day. The relations between the races were extremely uncomfortable. White people were afraid of saying anything. They'd walk on eggshells. And then I think we nearly achieved liberty and advancement as a result of the OJ verdict, when white America just said, that's it, the white guilt bank is shut down, and suddenly there was a flowering of all these interesting black people on TV, and as writers and as comedians, the only black spokesmen in America were no longer Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and Republican policies that had been blocked for decades on the grounds that it was a code word for racism, things like law and order and welfare reform, those go through to great success. They were so successful that Bill Clinton started claiming credit for both. Now with Obama, it's all come back, not because liberals have any particular warm feelings about the first black president, the historic nature of it. They certainly didn't think that about Clarence Thomas's nomination. But because Obama is the most left-wing president we've ever had, and they can turn around and pat themselves on the back while accusing Obama's opponents of being racist.
All right, my guest is Ann Coulter. Her latest book is titled Mugged. Ann, and I like what you say about the 70s and the 80s and the 90s being sort of an echo boom of the civil rights movement of the 50s and the 60s. But I want to ask you the question about this shifting of Republicans and Democrats that you brought up just a second ago. How is it the Democratic presidents were always in office when major civil rights initiatives were enacted? President Harry Truman was the president when we integrated the military, and President Lyndon Johnson was the one who actually passed the Civil Rights Act.
I would strongly contest you on that thesis. It was Republicans who were pushing civil rights legislation throughout the 20th century. It was Republicans pushing anti-poll tax legislation, anti-lynching legislation, public accommodation legislation. It was the Republican platform that endorsed all of these provisions, demanded integration of the civil services and the military, and the Democrats kept blocking it. It was Eisenhower who fully integrated the military, not Truman, though Truman gets all the credit because he started it, which was quite unusual for a Democrat. Eisenhower and Nixon were the main proponents of civil rights, passing the 1957 Civil Rights Act, the 1960 Civil Rights Act, both of which, incidentally, were virulently opposed and watered down by none other than Lyndon Johnson. But because of Republicans pushing civil rights and Eisenhower sending the 101st Airborne to walk school children into the Little Rock High School, which was being blocked by Bill Clinton's friend, Governor Orville Faubus, that was back in the 50s, and Thurgood Marshall's victories before the Supreme Court, which were being enforced by Republicans. The Democratic Party reached the point that they had to abandon the segregationists or never win another national election. The first civil rights legislation in 100 years after the Civil War, and there were dozens of civil rights laws pushed by Republicans, most of which, were blocked by the Democrats. The first civil rights law ever pushed by a Democrat was the 1964 Civil Rights Act, and that's why it's the only one you've ever heard of. That was pushed by LBJ, although a majority of Republicans supported that by about 80%. The ones who opposed it only opposed it for constitutional grounds, but had supported all prior civil rights legislation. Only about 60% of Democrats supported it, so it was Republican votes that got even that one through. And at the time, LBJ bragged to some other Democratic senators that with that bill, the 64 bill, we'd have those N-words voting Democratic for the next 200 years.
My guest is Ann Coulter. Well, Ann, you brought up a real seminal event, and that was Lyndon Johnson's presidency and the Civil Rights Act, because politically, the whole tenor of the United States politics, presidential politics, changed at that point. Prior to that, Republicans had a hard time getting votes in the Electoral College in the South. I mean, it was a rare thing when a Republican won a Southern state. Following 1964 and the Civil Rights Act, things flipped almost diametrically the opposite direction. I like the analogy that you use, saying that Democrats became Southerners, Southerners became conservative Democrats, and conservative Democrats eventually became conservatives. Talk to us about this transformation in American political history.
Well, actually, you're misciting me. That's how it was written in the history books. It's absolutely false. And your description of what just happened is what the history books will tell you by avoiding certain facts, giving you a broad brush description of it. It is absolutely false. Republicans have been winning the outer southern states, Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, and Florida, and generally North Carolina since the 20s. Warren Harding won them. Herbert Hoover won them. We can't really tell much about the South through FDR and Truman, since Democrats dominated all presidential elections then. Eisenhower won those states. This is, you know, back in the 50s now. Nixon won those states in 1960. This is still with the Democrats opposing all civil rights legislation, the Civil Rights Commission, Brown versus Board of Education, all of which were pushed and endorsed by Republicans. Republicans always won the outer southern states. This is glossed over by referring to the South as if it's one region of the country. Even Ronald Reagan, in his 1980 landslide election, did worse or lost the Dixiecrat states in that center. Barry Goldwater got us nothing. We didn't win those states until the Dixiecrats died. And also, interestingly, polls, there were extensive polls done in 1980 of college students. In the Northeast, of course, all the Ivy Leagues. John Anderson was the winner, followed closely by Carter. Reagan was polling at about 14% at places like Yale and Harvard. At the Southern colleges, Reagan was polling at 70 and 80%. Those were not Dixiecrats. They were not born when Thurmond or Goldwater was running for office. We only won the Dixiecrat states after the Dixiecrats died.
My guest is Ann Coulter. We're talking about her latest book, Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. I'm going to switch it up on you a little bit, Ann, and talk about this 2012 election, because it looks like the election is going to be about the economy and reducing the deficit. Whoever's elected president is going to have to confront restructuring the entitlement programs, Medicare, Medicaid, and welfare. Now, the Republicans are getting a bad rap here because they view the entitlement programs as critical to reducing the deficit and maintaining sound fiscal policy. But disproportionately, minorities and the elderly are the recipients of these benefits. So it's an easy argument for the Democrats to make that the Republicans are discriminating against minorities who take advantage of these entitlement programs. How is this a specious argument?
Well, as usual, the Democrats are using blacks to promote causes that have nothing to do with helping black people and, in fact, generally hurt them. One interesting fact in my book is that blacks actually were more likely to be married, had a higher marriage rate until LBJ's Great Society programs. Here you had people recently emerged from slavery, starting at the bottom rungs of society, and the first generations out of slavery had no chip on their shoulder, and boy, did they deserve to have one. They weren't being coddled to. They were being discriminated against, and yet they were advancing by leaps and bounds, and the families were together. And then the liberals decide to help them, and it all just stops. Just get black people on welfare, and we will have a solid Democratic voter. That's what the Democrats care about. Somebody gets divorced, they're happy. A child is born out of wedlock, they're happy. Someone goes on welfare, they're happy, because they keep getting more Democratic votes. And I would say that look at what happened after the OJ verdict, when these Republican policies on law and order and welfare reform, which had been called racist for decades and couldn't be pushed through, finally they were pushed through. And as a result of the law and order policies, the tough-on-crime policies, tens of thousands of black lives were saved because criminals, in addition to being evil, are also lazy and rarely venture beyond their neighborhoods when they rape and murder people. And the welfare policies were so massively successful that Bill Clinton started claiming credit for them. This is what actually helps people trying to climb up the socioeconomic ladder, having people work and take responsibility for their lives. Of course, numerically, more white people are on welfare than black people, but as a proportion, yeah, of course black people are more likely to be on welfare. They started at the bottom rungs of society. They were emerging from Jim Crow.
All right, my guest is Ann Coulter. So, Ann, then looking over the last 50 years, how do you see race relations in this country 50 years after the Civil Rights Movement?
Well, they were better right after the OJ verdict. When the white guilt bank shut down and we were able to push through these Republican policies and relations between the races were eased up as white people were no longer terrified of saying something that would destroy their careers and turn them into, you know, the bane of mankind. And now Obama, his candidacy, not him directly, but his candidacy has brought it all back, not because white liberals care about the first black president. It's because they love to be able to call other people racist. And any criticism of Obama will be called racist. The word apartment, Chris Matthews announced a couple of weeks ago, was racist, I guess because black people live in apartments. Chicago was racist. Kitchen cabinet is racist. The Tea Partiers came in for endless accusations of racism without ever producing anything. Meanwhile, look at the way Democrats talk about blacks. It's as if all of their pandering on one hand has to be released someplace else, and they say the things that objectively are racist, not, you know, cut taxes as racism. You have Bill Clinton saying of Obama, can you believe it, a few years ago he'd be getting our bags. And Harry Reid talking about Obama not having a Negro dialect. Who says Negro anymore? Dan Rather talking about Obama selling watermelons by the side of the road. It just goes on, and that's about Obama. Look at the things they say about Michael Steele, Mia Love, Clarence Thomas. Those are outrageous. I mean, we're getting into the N-word here now. So they don't care about black people. They care about pushing left-wing causes, abortion, gay marriage, big government, socialist health care, and they will throw the blacks in the way to say you hate blacks if you don't support these left-wing causes.
My guest is Ann Coulter, author of the book Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. And Ann, I'm going to challenge you a little bit here, and let's talk about Republican presidents. You know, you're broadcasting into Ventura County, which is the home of the Ronald Reagan Library, Presidential Library. So let's examine Ronald Reagan on race issues. In the 1960s, Reagan opposed the Civil Rights Act. He opposed Voting Rights Act of 1965 and also the Fair Housing Act of 1968. As the president, Reagan supported tax breaks for schools that discriminated on the basis of race. He opposed the extension of the Voting Rights Act again. He vetoed the Civil Rights Restoration Act, and he decimated the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. So if you had to take a look at that, as Ronald Reagan is one of the most revered Republican presidents, how would you stack up his record on race relations?
Well, he wasn't a federal politician. He was a Democrat and an actor for most of what you're talking about. As for tax breaks for colleges that discriminate against blacks, that's something I know about because I write about. They're talking about Bob Jones University. It was not discrimination against blacks. It was a policy that was instituted in the 50s after a Chinese family complained that their son had gone to Bob Jones University and gotten engaged to a white girl. And so they instituted a policy of no interracial dating that had absolutely nothing to do with black people. It was started with an Asian dating a white girl. It just had remained on the books. There wasn't much dating at all at Bob Jones University. It's a very serious Christian university. And the question was whether the government was going to use students who received student loans to go to college, whether that would allow the government to start dictating policies to the colleges. So yes, of course, Reagan said you can't use a student loan to tell a college what to do. Incidentally, it was only a few years later that Bob Jones dropped that policy.
All right, my guest is Ann Coulter, author of the book Mugged, Racial Demagoguery from the 70s to Obama. Ann, what do you want readers to take away from reading Mugged?
That racial bullying has never produced anything good, least of all for black people, that we move beyond race by moving beyond race, and don't make the same mistake again.
Oh, that is great. My guest has been Ann Coulter. Ann, you have definitely piqued the interest of many of my listeners. If they want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, where would you direct them to go?
Well, there's anncoulter.com, and I'm on Twitter at anncoulter. And, of course, this fabulous book available at fine bookstores everywhere, or at Audibly. But it's definitely available on Amazon if your local bookstore is hiding it.
All right, Ann. It has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on The Bill Frank Show. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you. Great to talk to you, Bill.
Great to talk to you.